Welcome to the Open House Podcast. Conversations exploring life, faith and hope with Stephen O'Doherty.
Well, you may have heard our story recently about Trim, Matthew Flinders' cat, who mapped his way around Australia. Well, probably napped his way around Australia is a better way of putting it. It was Matthew Flinders that was doing the mapping. Did you know that Trim wasn't the only feline who features in maritime history? I suppose it makes sense, but Philippa Sandel was intrigued enough with the story of cats at sea in general that she consulted Bart the Cat, a very outspoken and knowledgeable cat. And with the help of Bart, Philippa has introduced a wonderfully amusing and seriously interesting book called Seafurers, The Ship's Cats Who Lapped and Mapped the World. Philippa, welcome to Open House.
Thank you, Stephen.
Trim wasn't by any means the only cat to go to sea. There's a long line of them, and a friend of yours, Bart, has actually chronicled them.
That's right. That's right. Bart felt that it was time for an alternative view of maritime history, that it had been very Homo sapiens oriented,
yes.
and there were other viewpoints that needed to be considered.
Now tell us who Bart is.
I think Bart could be anyone's cat, really. But to me, Bart is the curator of the feline maritime history. I think the picture at the beginning of the book, which was perhaps the most evocative thing that drove me, even in the days when I thought, well, you know, what quite is this story, is the picture of the cat on the column in the monastery in Lisbon that was carved sometime in the early 16th century, which is a cat, a very alert cat, lying on some ropes. And you think, so there were so many cats that they actually, when they're memorialising their great discoveries on these columns, they naturally put a cat there. And so that is, to me, is a sort of symbolic Bart.
Well, you've gone to extraordinary lengths to research and to produce documentary evidence of the many adventures of many cats through history. You've gone right back, in fact, to a Manual of Maritime Law written in 1809, which sort of mandates, kind of mandates or certainly cements in legal contract terms the importance of cats on grain ships.
Yes, absolutely, absolutely. You know, I mean, I think the thing is, as we know, in so many things in this life, Stephen, a lot of it comes down to dollars. I suppose probably from about 1100s, 1200s, when, you know, they were sailing the seas a bit more and trading and so forth, they had to have laws of the sea that meant that people could trade in grain or whatever it is they were trading in and could get paid. And if there were shipwrecks or pirates or other incidents at sea, people were appropriately and fairly compensated. So the laws of the sea are very old. Well, 1809 is the version that I have here, but of course it's much older. It's about 1490-something.
Mm-hmm.
Rocco wrote a version of this down, and this was important because, of course, this was at the beginning of the printing press.
Now, can I read this? This is note 58 in these 1809 maritime laws. If goods taken on board of a ship are devoured by rats and the owners consequently suffer considerable damage, the master must repair the injury sustained by the owners, for he is considered in fault. In other words, if the grain gets eaten on the way, the ship owner pays. But, it goes on to say, if the master kept cats on board, he is excused from that liability.
I know. It's precious, really, isn't it?
Literally an insurance policy.
And then they later revise it, say that, you know, that basically if he had the cats and the cats have died and then the rats damaged the goods, well, then he's sort of, and he tried to replace the cats, but he's not bound to make good the losses. So maritime insurance has been a great driver of the ongoing participation of seafarers.
Now, it wasn't just for the reasons of protecting the stock that was being carried or even the food supplies on the ship, but in some cases, rats on board ship have been said to have drilled holes, bored holes in the ship's hull, leading to quite calamitous possibilities.
Well, I mean, I think that Bart is slightly sceptical of this one.
Oh,
but
really?
There have been mariners who've had holes in the hull that they said the rat did it. But, you know, you have to maybe take that. Why would, you know, if we know rats leave a sinking ship, why would they need to eat the hole in it to prove their point, really, is Bart's position on this one. So we're not quite sure about that, but they certainly ate through. They can eat through everything. I don't think people are aware of these days, because you don't see rats that often around, of what damage they can do. They even ate the soles of a seafarer's feet at night.
Oh, that sounds really gross.
It is all pretty gross, isn't it?
Our guest on Open House is the very ungross, the delightful Philippa Sandel. She is the author, with help from her friend Bart the cat, of Seafarers, The Ships, Cats Who Lapped and Mapped the World is the name of the book. Now, you talk about rats on board ships. This became a particular problem when Cook was towards the end of his own journeys, before his own untimely death. I think he was in the Pacific or Polynesia or somewhere. Tell us about the rats and Captain Cook.
Well, he had they had cats on board, as many other things, but they also had many rats. So clearly the cats were able to make a modest dent in the rat population. They kept it down rather than eliminating it entirely. And they had many other animals that made it difficult on board to, I suppose, the standards of hygiene and these sorts of things. When they were in Moorea, Cook hawsed the ship, so he actually pulls the ship up as close to the shore as possible, runs a stout rope to the shore, hoping that somehow Pied Piper-like, the rats will trip down the rope and go on to Moorea.
Oh, Captain Cook's no fool. Is that something that they did in those days?
Absolutely. Obviously, that was fairly common practice.
Fancy that.
But the problem they had in the islands was that the locals, possibly taking offence at having a load of rats dumped on them, shall we say, borrowed some cats. And so there were a number of issues about the cats being stolen and returned and all these sorts of things.
I would imagine that those Pacific Islanders were really quite within their rights to not welcome these alien species, whereas they didn't have rats, they didn't have cats, they had native flora, the native fauna that they wanted to protect. That seems reasonable.
They also had a native rat, which they ate, but it's not the same rat. The Pacific rat is not the same rat as Rattus rattus. So,
meaning that Rattus rattus would have out-competed the Pacific rat that they ate.
Absolutely. Everywhere it goes, it out-competes, yes.
All right, well, in that context, what about Robinson Crusoe Island that you mentioned?
Well, this is just an island just in the Juan Fernandez Archipelago, just off the coast of Chile. It was clearly a regular pit stop for ships plying the Pacific from the 16th century. Woods Allen rescues a man called Alexander Selkirk, who had about 3 years previously marooned himself there because he'd had a falling out with his own captain. When he gets on the island, it's absolutely covered in cats and rats and goats and a whole range of other things, all sorts of things that had been left there or dumped there by passing ships. Mm. There had also been the odd attempt to colonise it over the years, but by and large, it was the rats were a major problem, and so he, shall we say, cultivates the affection of the cats to deal with the rats and make his life bearable.
Yes.
But the island was covered in goats as well and a whole range of other things.
Now, you mentioned that cats on board ships didn't always do exactly as they were supposed to. And there's the story of what happened to one of Joseph Banks' prize specimens.
Well, I think that, you know, a cat would say it's all fair game because their natural instinct is to be hunters.
So what happened?
Well, we think someone left the door open, but Banks, of course, was with his team of people, was busy botanising and having, and they would catch little birds and they would draw them and identify them. It was quite an extraordinary achievement on Endeavour. But sadly, they had a little bird that they were all very fond of that was very good at eating flies and things like that, and so it was obviously quite useful as well, and they were drawing it, but then the cat ate it, so that was that. And there's another story, of course, where down in Antarctica with Ross, you know, they're ploughing their way through the ice, and a great big piece of ice flies onto the deck, and it has a frozen fish in it. They're all quite excited about this, a specimen that they can botanize and do all these things to. And, of course, they thaw it out, and hey presto, turn their back a second, and in goes the cat.
Survival is a great motivator. But I love the way that Banks recorded that incident in 1768 on the Endeavour. Understatement is here. Trade continues. Today the cat killed our bird, M. avida, the scientific name, who had lived with us ever since the 29th of September, entirely on the flies which he caught for himself. He was hearty and in high health, so that probably he might have lived a great while longer had fate been more kind.
They wrote beautifully, didn't they, Stephen?
Oh, just, you can read
so much.
They just
wrote beautifully.
Philippa Sandel is our guest. She's the author of Seafarers, a delightful book just published in Australia and just out this week in the United States as well. Philippa, there's some mystery around cats and ships, and I'd love for you to tell us the story of the ghost ship.
A letter from Nassau in the Bahamas bearing the date 27th of August has the following narrative. A singular fact has taken place within the last few days. A large French vessel bound from Hamburg to Havana was met by one of our small coasters and was discovered to be completely abandoned. The greater part of her sails were set, and she did not appear to have sustained any damage. The cargo, composed of wines, fruits, silks, etc., was of very considerable value and was in almost perfect condition. The captain's papers were all secure in their proper place. The soundings gave 3 feet of water in the hold, but there was no leak whatsoever. The only living things being found on board were a cat, some fowls, and several canaries, half dead with hunger.
Yes, well, now that was the story. They investigated that in the 1840s, and they found that to probably be not true. Is that right?
Lloyd's, of course, as soon as there is a missing ship, Lloyd's are on the case.
Yes.
People have always loved, this is the whole kind of Bermuda Triangle mystery thing, so people have always loved stories like that. So we don't really know at all, but it's likely that it's unlikely. Lloyd's say there was no ship called the Rosalie lost at that time.
Well, now, the delightful illustration, and they are a feature of this book as well, by Ad Long, has a cat standing at the bridge of a ship, pirate hat on, standing, in fact, at the wheel, and the caption is, "She's not a ghost ship, she's my ship."
Yes.
Well, look, it's a delightful volume. I thank you for pulling all of that together, and the research that you've done is incredible.
Thank you, Steve. And it's been fun.
I'm sure it has been fun. Apart from fun, was there any other reason for writing the story? Not that fun's not a good reason.
In the end, the most astonishing thing to me was that we see cats today as being something of an internet sensation, but they've actually been boosting circulation of newspapers for about 170 years.
Perfect. The book is called Seafarers, The Ship's Cats Who Lapped and Mapped the World, An Incidental History. Philippa Sandel is the author. It's published by Affirm Press. I hope it goes well for you, Philippa.
Thank you very much, Stephen. Thank you for having me on your show.
Oh, an absolute delight. It's a great book, too. I just say that it's, if you like cats, you'll enjoy this. It's written entertainingly, and it's a lovely history. Some good stories collected there. Seafarers by Philippa Sandel. We've got the details on our Open House Facebook page, which is Open House Community.
Discover more Open House podcasts at openhousecommunity.com.au.